So this Sunday we're going to continue our series Free, where, you know, really the idea is that we're just kind of talking about things that, you know, are inevitables in life. You know, things that we're going to run into in life, but if we're not careful, they can become a stronghold to us. They can dictate our actions and our decisions and our words, and they can become prisons for us. And so this week, I get the excitement to talk to you guys about anger, which is funny. I forget who I was talking to some friends, maybe you guys, I don't know. But I was like, I don't know how qualified I feel to talk about this. I'm not a counselor, but I've been angry a lot. So I feel like I can speak from experience. So as with most of the things, I'll be speaking from my own personal experience and just how the Lord, where the Lord has brought me. Because I would say I probably was an angry kid. I definitely did like the whole like explosive, like, you know, I've put the holes in the walls, I've slammed the doors, I've broken things. I've done that. Thanks, Jason. That's kind of distracting. And I've done the whole, you know, passive aggressive, like simmering anger. You guys know what, you know what anger I'm talking like the, you know, like the, and something at any moment might set me off, and I feel really sorry for whoever's like in front of me when that happens. Like that kind of place. Yeah, man, this is gonna be easy. And so yeah, I mean, I've experienced all that stuff, and I would say I'm better than I was when I was 16. Anger is still something that the Lord is working out in me, but yeah, it can definitely be a prison. It can definitely be something that can hold you back and can prohibit the things that the Lord is wanting to do in you wherever you're at. So yeah, I'm gonna open us up in prayer. And we're just going to dive in because we've got a lot of ground to cover. So, Lord, we just thank you so much that you are slow to anger, because you know that there's plenty of things that we do that could make you angry, and you are slow to anger, that it's your kindness that brings us to repentance, according to Paul, that your goodness and your mercy follow us everywhere we go. And so, Jesus, we just pray that this morning, as we kind of talk about anger, we would take on your heart, that our desire would be reflections of your heart, that if you're slow to anger, we want to be slow to anger. And when we are angry, we want that anger to be a righteous anger that drives us towards justice and drives us towards your will and not our own selfish desires. And so we thank you, Jesus, that you are constantly at work in us to liberate us from the things that may hold us back. And Holy Spirit, we know that you want our freedom even more than we do. And I pray that you would just be at work this morning to just shine lights on things that maybe we're not aware of. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. So, psychologically, we're going to go there this morning. Psychologically, anger is a base emotion. It's one of the most primitive, you know, it's like anger, fear, anxiety, and hunger. Like, it's like, you know, those are like the most base emotions. And it was funny, I kind of reviewed, I can't, now that I'm here, I can't remember the guy's name. He actually came to the church and spoke. He wrote a book. And he's a Christian guy. He pretty much talks about how the Lord is at work in the rewiring of our brain. And to this day, I still think about things he talked about. And he talked about how there's a section of our brain like back here. You know, you can see my brain here. And, you know, he called it the lizard brain, because if you look at it, it's really no different than any section of the brain in any animal or lizard or anything like that. It's really not that special. You know, that's where, like, we're hungry, so we eat. You know, the involuntary, you know, stuff like we need air, so we breathe without even thinking about it. You know, and that's where, like, anger and, like, fight or flight comes from. Because, you know, when you're talking about in terms of a lizard, when they're in a threatening or a situation that they don't approve of, A lizard only has two options, they either fight or flight. There's really only two options with that. But we're not lizards, thank God. Children of God, when they're put into situations, when we are backed into a corner or we feel like someone has wronged us, our only two options aren't fight or flight. You know, we have the option to love. We have the option to do creative problem solving. We have the option to reason. We have the option to look beyond ourselves from another perspective, to look at things from their viewpoint. We have the option to be selfless in that situation and to prefer other people, even though we feel threatened or harmed in the process. That's what children of God have the capacity to do. That's what makes us different. But the problem with anger, and what makes anger a detriment to our ability to do that, is if we settle down in anger, and if we sit in it and we stew in it and we allow that to be the place where that we operate from, then we're pulling from the section of our brain that says fight or flight. So it really prohibits our ability to cognitively be creative and to cognitively reason and be logical and to be selfless. Like it actually prohibits our ability to do those things when we're sitting in that place of anger and fight or flight. James chapter 1, you know, he addresses this. He says in James chapter 1, verse 19, he says, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires." Something else that this guy said is that from the perspective of being a believer, as he studied the human brain, he believes that he has found the part of the brain that actually makes us in the image of God, and it's the part right here in the front. Because the part of the brain right here in the front is what's responsible for our morality, our creativity, our ability to reason, our ability to problem solve. You know, that's where that comes from. So really, those are all the things that help us reflect the image of God. You know, if you think about it, those are all the things that we can't draw from when we're angry, because when we're angry, we're drawing from the lizard brain back here. We have Wendy and I, in our house, we have this, I don't call it a rule, but it's this thing like we try to be open with each other and talk about, like, okay, Tim, you messed up. Let me tell you what you did wrong. And so, which is good. But something we've learned over time is, if I've messed up and I'm upset about it, that's not the best time to tell me. You guys know what I'm talking about. You know, so say, for example, I put some fragile glasses in the dishwasher, and then I go to empty the dishwasher and they're all shattered. You know, that is not the time to say, "Hey, Tim, you shouldn't have put those in the dishwasher," because then I might say something like, "I know. Thank you, Captain Obvious." Because at that moment, I'm angry. I actually lack the ability to take that information and apply it and say, "You know what? I need to learn from this situation. I'm not going to do this again." Like, that's the thing to do. But I can't do that because I'm so angry. All I want to do is either shut the dishwasher and pretend it never happened, which is flight, or I want to rip the dishwasher out of the counter and slam it on the ground, which is fight, which neither of those are good options. So that is not the time to tell me I've done something wrong, because I literally can't hear it. And it happens to all of us. Wendy and I have gone to marriage counseling for pretty much all of our marriage, and our marriage counselor taught us this thing called HALT. You know, and some of you may be familiar with this, but HALT stands for hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. And so what she's pretty much saying is, if you are hungry, angry, lonely, or tired, that is not the time to have a hard conversation. Not going to go well. It's not going to end well. It is really hard to be selfless and to be productive and to really accomplish anything relationally, especially through the lens of love and sacrifice, when you are any one of those things, because all four of those things tie us down to this lizard brain. So, you know, we've had to learn that if either of us are any of those things, we need to walk away, take control, get out of that mind space, so that we can then come together and actually have a productive conversation about what's going on and how do we keep it from happening again. Because lizards aren't good at relationships. Yeah, it's true. It's true. I'm not calling us lizards, but it's a term. You guys get it. In fact, I have a theory. So all through the New Testament, Paul makes a reference to like our flesh. You know, there's like our flesh that's like at war with us. So he references like he's at war with this flesh and stuff. The things he doesn't want to do, he does, and the things he does, he doesn't want to do. And so there's at war with this thing in our flesh. And I think that the flesh that he's talking about is this lizard brain. Because if you think about it, it's all instinctual. It's all, you know, temporary pleasure. You know, it's all, you know, wanting things now that aren't necessarily good for us in the long run, but I want it now. That's the flesh. And so the Holy Spirit is at work in us to empower us to die to that part of us and to not be ruled by that part of us, which is where anger comes from. To be free from anger is to allow the Holy Spirit to rule over this front part of our brain, to allow us to walk in selflessness and creativity and to be the children of God he created us to be. In Ephesians 4:26-27, Paul says, "In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold." I mean, anger by itself isn't wrong. We just can't sit in it. We can't stew over it. That's why he says, don't let the sun go down in your anger. Now, maybe he's not literally meaning, you know, don't go to bed angry, even though I wouldn't advise that either. But you guys know what I mean when we kind of sit in our anger and we don't deal with it. You know, whatever dealing with it means, whether it's having that hard conversation or whether it's giving it to the Lord or whatever. But that's what causes resentment and bitterness, which then leads to, like, gossiping and daydreaming about dragging someone through the gravel. Or I don't know. But, I mean, that's where that stuff leads. And you don't, and that's the stuff that gets caustic and toxic in your lives. So so you know, yes, we're going to get angry, and no, anger by itself isn't a sin. But if we sit in our anger, that's what leads to sin. So, whether your anger is quiet, like the quiet simmering kind where you're kind of operating with it all the time and you kind of feel like there's that low boil kind of always going on, or whether it's like it's the loud and explosive, like you get it, you react, you get it out, it's over with and you're fine until the next, you know, loud and explosive one that comes up. Neither of those really reflect the heart of God. So what can we do? What can we do in our lives to free us from these things that prohibit us from reflecting the heart of God in the world and fully expressing the kingdom of God? This mentor that Wendy and I work with, she's great. And an illustration she kind of brought up to us was this idea of alignment. And so thinking like the spine, like I don't know where you guys stand on chiropractic care. You know, some of you may go to a chiropractor and some of you may think it's black magic. I don't know. But there is something to this idea that our spine is literally this highway of information in our bodies where everything communicates to our nerves. And that if there's an issue in your spine and things are out of alignment, it messes with how your body is able to communicate to the rest of itself and can cause issues that may or may not seem obvious that that your spine is actually responsible. And so I think, you know, just like God puts all sorts of metaphors in creation for how he operates, I think that's a wonderful metaphor for this idea of alignment that we're supposed to be operating in. And when I say alignment, I mean that we are spirit, mind, and body. And if you look at it like an alignment, we're supposed to operate from the top from a spirit, and then we also have our minds and we have our bodies. And we're all three. You can't be whole and you can't be well and you can't be at your best if you're neglecting any three parts of who you are, your spirit, your mind, and your body. And if any of those three are out of alignment, and when I say out of alignment, I mean out of alignment with the heart and will of God, then you're gonna have issues. And anger can be one of those issues, among other things. So what I was going to do, so what I kind of want to sit in for a little bit is I kind of want to go through and kind of just talk about some things that I've done, some ways that I've aligned myself that have helped me over the years. And hopefully the Lord speaks to you. Maybe you get some ideas for how to kind of bring some better alignment into your life. So we'll start at the top. We'll start with the spirit. So if we're talking about making sure our spirit is aligned with the will and the heart of God, this may sound very elementary to some of you, but you need to have a daily quiet time. And I know, you know, this is one of those things where, you know, yes, we are in constant, you know, prayer ceaselessly. We're in constant communion with the Holy Spirit. Yes, that's all true. But Jesus did it. And there's something to be said for having a daily time where it's scheduled, whether you feel like it or not, you go and you get with the Lord. You have a standing appointment with the Lord. And it's crucial. It's so important for us to still our minds and to anchor ourselves in truth and to remind ourselves of truth on a regular and daily basis. It's something that we need. Something else I've noticed about anger is, even though it's a base emotion, a lot of times my anger is fed by something else. So, you know, I may be angry about something, and then I'll go and have time with the Lord, and I may journal, or I may, you know, whatever I do that allows the Lord to reflect me, and I'll find out that I'm angry about something. But really, even though I'm angry about something, it's really because I feel rejected by something, or I'm resenting something. A lot of times, I feel all these other things, feel these other emotions about a situation that make me feel weaker or more vulnerable, like vulnerability or jealousy or things like that. And I don't like feeling weak, so I just get angry about it, because at least anger makes me feel strong. And so, you know, I don't like feeling out of control. I don't feel like feeling weak. So at least anger makes me feel in control and not weak. But at the heart of it is, I'm not angry, I'm actually jealous, or I'm actually feel betrayed, or whatever the core thing is. So I can get with the Lord, and the Lord can give me clarity on those things, so I can deal with the heart of the issue. And then something else is, sometimes we just need to re-surrender. We just need to surrender every day. I have this really bad habit of fighting God for leadership. And I also have this rather really bad habit of taking responsibilities on myself that the Lord took. And what happens is, when we step into places that the Lord doesn't want us to step into, when we take roles on or put things on our shoulder that the Lord has put on His own shoulder, then we're operating out of His ability to. How do I say this? He's not given us grace to operate that way, so we're running for a roadblock, pretty much. And so a lot of times anger can be a symptom that you're taking on things that you weren't meant to take on, and that you're running ragged because you're taking on things that the Lord didn't give you to take on. So I like to use my daily quiet times as a way to let the Lord reflect in me and to re-surrender to Him every day, because that's what I need. And there's tons of other things, but the point is, we need to have that standing daily appointment with the Lord, whatever that looks like for you. So moving down is our mind. And again, I'm no counselor, but as I was praying about this sermon, this one big question did come up. And so I hope this hits home to someone. Hopefully this is for someone. But the question is, what narrative are you listening to in your mind? And what I'm getting to with that is, if you were standing outside yourself and someone was telling someone else the things you tell yourself every day, would you be mad for them? If someone was treating someone else the way you treat yourself, as in the things you commit yourself to, the things you tell yourself, the things you put yourself through, would you be mad for them? Maybe you're angry, maybe you're prone to anger because you're tyrannizing yourself. And you wouldn't treat anyone else the way that you treat yourself. And maybe that's why you're so angry. You're angry at yourself. And if the Lord is slow to anger, And his kindness brings us to repentance, and his goodness and mercy follows us all the rest of our days, then that is out of alignment with the will and the heart of God. And that's going to cause issues. Are you allowing yourself to rest, or are you running yourself ragged? Are you scheduling and making self-care a priority? And if I say self-care and you have no idea what I'm talking about, or I say self-care and you say, I don't even know what that looks like, I would encourage you to go to Carolyn's workshop on the 1st. Because for me, the Enneagram has been very valuable to help me understand that there's all these different personality types. And by my personality, there's certain things that I need that really wouldn't be as important to someone else. Like, for example, and by my personality type, I am run by schedules and to-do lists. So what I try to do on Saturday for my own mental health is I try to have a day, which is usually Saturday, where I have nowhere I have to be. That's just really cathartic for me. Where, you know what? That's not saying I'm going to sit on the couch and do nothing all day, but it means like I don't have a to-do list that day and I don't have a schedule that day. That's very important for me. It may not be important for any of you, but that's important for me. And I learned that actually through the Enneagram. So, you know, if self-care is something you know you are lacking, or maybe you just don't know anything about, I would encourage you to go to her seminar, because I know that is a part of the Enneagram process and education is, you know, what does self-care look like for each of these different types. But that's just something you need. That's part of reflecting the kindness of the Lord to yourself and allowing you to operate in a way where you're able to give the best of yourself. And then finally, it's our bodies. It's our physical health. Work has been pretty crazy lately, and I haven't been able to get into the gym the last couple of months very well. Something that Wendy loves to remind me of, because she knows the difference when I'm not going to the gym. Because that's just a way that I'm able to vent my emotion, my anger, especially I can go after work, because she says, she allegedly says there's a switch in my head that's like work me and like home me, and then going to the gym allows me to flip that switch. So I'll trust her on that. But yeah, I mean, the gym is very important for me, and even if like I like to pick things up and put them down. Maybe you don't. Maybe you're a runner. Maybe you're a walker. Maybe, you know, whatever you do, but our bodies were meant to be in motion. You know, so whatever that motion is for you, do it. It's good for you. Diet, again, something very simple. We don't think about our exercise and diet and all this stuff impacting our spiritual and emotional health, but it does. Again, did I mention lately that work has been crazy? Work has been crazy. And I've just been really tired lately. And so a friend of mine who lives in our neighborhood, he's one of these like these health coaches. And so he encouraged me, he goes, here's what I want you to do. I want you to drink a gallon of water a day. Now, when I say a gallon of water, you may say, oh, a gallon of water is not that much. You know there's like those big hydro flasks you get like at Costco? They're like this tall. That's 5.5 of these a day. Like I'm peeing like every 45. I have to pee right now. Like it's like that's a lot of water. It's a lot of water. Like I'm gonna end this sermon and I'm gonna go to the bathroom and I'll come back and we'll hang out. But I have more energy. I just drinking something as simple as I'm drinking more water and I have more energy. And guess what? Because I have more energy, I'm less angry. My mood is better because I have more energy. I get in these bad habits. Like I'm almost 34 years old. I still eat Eggo waffles for breakfast. Don't judge me. But what I've noticed is when I eat sugary, starchy things for breakfast, I crash, and then I'm grumpy the rest of the day. You see how that works? So our diet impacts all this stuff as well. Operating at the best we can operate. And then finally, just sleep. Even as a youth, I would go to a youth lock-in, and like I couldn't stay up with the rest of the youth. Like I've always been a wuss when it comes to sleep. But more and more science has been coming out the last few years about how sleep is important. There's innumerable benefits that our body and our mind get from getting your 8 hours of sleep. And they're seeing now that over a prolonged time, if you're not getting the sleep you need, that leads to dementia, Alzheimer's, all these like memory, all these memory illnesses. Sleep is crucial. And if you're not getting your sleep, I encourage you to really figure out why you're not getting your sleep. Maybe you're on your phone too much right before bed. Maybe you're eating right before bed. You know, whatever. Maybe it's the Costco cookies you're eating right before bed. I don't know. But I love Costco cookies. Don't get me wrong. I said it for a reason. But sleep. So, I mean, I know it feels like I may not have got, you know, I may have ended on a very unspiritual note, but it's all spiritual. Jesus didn't go around and say, hey, Jason, how's your spiritual life? It's good. Because it's all spiritual. It's all tied in together. The way our brains operate, our diet, the way we think about ourselves, the way we treat ourselves is just as important as our daily quiet time with the Lord and what we read in our Bible. It's all tied in together. We can't neglect these other things because the name of Jesus isn't slapped on the bottle of water we're drinking and say it's not as important, because it is. We are spirit, mind, and body. And if any one of those things are out of alignment with the will of God for our lives, we're going to have issues. So what I'm leaving with you with today, and what I'm hoping the Lord maybe can cast some light on, is how might you be out of alignment right now? What is the Lord showing you you're out of alignment with? And how can we bring you back into alignment? Kind of similar to chiropractic. I go to a chiropractor, and sometimes they crack my neck, and it feels like it moved a foot. But really, it was like a millimeter. It was like not even that much. It's like that much. But it makes a world of difference. I wonder if there's some of you in here where you literally have to make the smallest change, and it's going to make the world of difference. And that's my prayer for you guys. Is what kind of change do you need to make to bring yourself back into alignment in all areas of your life with the heart of God for your life? So I'm going to close us in prayer. Man, it's 11:30. That's awesome. Amen. Amen. Because I got some youth that want to go jump on trampolines. So I'm gonna close this in prayer. And of course, you know, we're available to talk. If you want to talk anything out, Mike will be back later on today. If there's anything you want to process with us, we're here for you guys. We love you guys, and we want the best for you guys. So, Lord, we just thank you that you are in all things. You created our bodies to work according to a plan. You created our minds to work according to a plan. You created our brains to work according to a plan. And you gave us your Holy Spirit inside of us to teach us, to give us wisdom, to guide us in the way that we should go, so that in all things we could do things that reflect your kingdom and your heart for us and for the world. And so I pray that you would just shine your light on anything that there's darkness. I pray that you would bring your wisdom in anything that is indicating the world's wisdom, and that nothing would hold us back from bringing your kingdom to the earth. Not worry, not anger. None of the things would hold us back from bringing your kingdom and shining your light in the world. And it's your name we pray. Amen.